As at the time I took over in 2007, people were being killed on the streets. In those waterfronts, our mothers and sisters, our wives are being raped. How would those people who issued that presentment feel if their wives or their mothers were raped at the waterfront? So I have that responsibility to protect lives and property. We are saying to them, we pay the commercial value for those properties. It's not even an issue of paying compensation. It's a buyback policy. They have the right to sell their properties. What's the business of amnesty to say, don't sell your property? Now, so we buy the property at commercial value, not at the acquisition value. Then we pay and we take possession. Before we demolish, they would have gone. So we have demolished some areas before in the last 2 or 3 months. Have we had any crisis? We've not, in terms of accommodation or housing, because they're taking away 29 million naira, some 25 and all that, and are able to buy properties elsewhere or build their own houses.
What are you putting in place of those areas that you're going to demolish?
It will be a mixed development. There will be places for which the rich can live and feel comfortable with the water. There will be mass housing. If they want to buy at that point, they should also come and buy. But first, let us be able to properly plan and design the place and build houses where you can locate a criminal. What you have now are shanties that when you're coming, the criminal just jump into the water and they're out, they're gone.
How soon do you expect to complete it?
It's not a thing you complete in the next 3-4 years. That's why demolition won't be a thing you complete in 1 week. The one we demolished 2 months ago, we have just had an agreement with a company called Sibabed, and they are doing their designs and all that for which we'll go through with a PPP program for them to develop the place.
When a river state is one of the states in the Niger Delta, and you bound the brunt of some of the attacks and oil facilities, you also pushed for a post-amnesty plan by the government. A few weeks ago, the government came up with what it says a post-amnesty plan. Are you satisfied with what the government is doing, and do you think more should be done in the post-amnesty plan, because people think if these youths are not gainfully employed, they just might go back to the creeks?
I'm more than satisfied. If there's anywhere I want them to add it, to add states, the key satisfaction is predicated on the policy of giving 10% equity to the owners of every oil well. So for every oil block you meet, or oil well you meet, the communities surrounding that oil block own 10%. And that was the struggle. The struggle was, let the owners of this oil well participate in the oil business. Let them not just be watching people cut away the oil, cut away the revenues and all that, and no development, absolutely nothing. Now you have your resources, you can develop your local area. That is one of the biggest achievements. Despite the federal government policy of we'll do roads, we'll do mass housing, development of cities, you know, rails and all that. These are development projects. But for me, the key is the ownership of 10% equity in every oil well by every community that has an oil well.
At some point, some of the militants were scared of accepting the amnesty, saying you threatened to arrest them or imprison them, even if they take the amnesty. Has that changed?
The president is the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. If he has issued an amnesty, it's an amnesty. No court will entertain any case relating to the issues raised by the amnesty. So that won't be an issue. Just as you see, in Nigeria, there was a time where people, enforcement of law was a problem. So when I became a governor in my state, we began to enforce laws. These children were living in Port Harcourt. So when we got to enforce law, they ran away. Now, they were not sure that I would not continue to enforce the law against them. And I told them that part of the enforcement of law is the obedience to the declaration of the amnesty. But a day after the amnesty, if you commit crime, you are held responsible for the crime you've committed. You won't be let go. Nobody will let you go because you are a gun-toting young man. Everybody must obey the law. And the law is that nobody can bear guns illegally in Nigeria.
At one point, you said something about a criminal business, and that some of these young men, rather than fighting for what people believe is their rights, that it was a criminal business going on. Can you just briefly explain what you meant by that?
When we came in October 2007, the story everywhere in the world was, oh, these were freedom fighters. And the government didn't have the voice to say, no, these were not freedom fighters, these were criminals. I agree with them, listening to some of them now. There are some of them, not in River State. Where the River State, maybe people like Asare talk about. Maybe. Now, outside 1 or 2 persons, the rest were just engaging in crime. I say they rape our wives, they rape our mothers. Our mothers and our wives, federal government, and then the other part of Nigeria that they will say, okay, we are visiting our anger on the federal government. No, they are our mothers. They are from Niger Delta. And if you are not mad enough to ask a woman to have a relationship with you and you rape her, first, you're not mad enough. Then, two, you've committed a crime. So you should be punished for that crime. And then, well, that's what I mean by the crime business. I was saying that because these young men were bearing guns and the federal government was not responding appropriately, they didn't know how to face the problems, we began to do business around that crime. That is the crime-based economy. The criminals were doing bunkering, breaking the pipes, and taking away oil and selling to people and acquiring weapons from there. That's business.